On today's edition of the Gary Zimak Show, we'll take a look at the sacraments of matrimony and holy orders, and we'll also look at the Mass readings from today's Mass. Stay right where you are, because it's coming right up. Hey there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. I'm going to be here with you for the next 30 minutes. I hope you can stick around for the entire show as we discuss the sacraments of holy orders and matrimony and look at the daily Mass readings from Monday of the 22nd week in ordinary time. How are you? Did you have a good weekend? I hope you did. It's great to be back here with you on the program. I'm getting excited because later this week we're going to launch into our preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. If you haven't heard, we begin officially on Friday, September the 4th, to do our 33 days of preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. But on Thursday night, September the 3rd, we'll do a preliminary show in which I'll discuss what will be coming up. So I hope you'll be able to tune in. I hope you will be participating because I'm really excited about doing this devotion for the fifth consecutive year. If you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. If you're on my mailing list, you received a newsletter today or an e-blast talking about total consecration. Also talking about the release of 5 CDs, recordings of my most popular talks. They're now available through Champions of the Truth. If you want to find out more about these, visit my website, followingthetruth.com. And you can find out how to get copies of these. We have 5 of them right now in the collection. We're going to be doing more soon. This has been a long time coming. People have asked about recordings of my live talks. So if you've been unable to get to my live talks and you want to hear me talk about the topics that I discuss, which is mainly overcoming anxiety with the help of the Lord, that's my big message. If you want to hear those, you can now get yourself copies of those. Followingthetruth.com is the place for more information. Or if you're having any trouble, if you want to find out about how to get copies of these and you can't find it on the website, just email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I need to take a sip of my beverage du jour, which, by the way, today is a cup of donut shop coffee. No Mystic Monk coffee for me today, but that is the best coffee you'll ever drink. And if you are interested in checking out the fine products put out by the Mystic Monks in Cody, Wyoming, visit followingthetruth.com and check out the Mystic Monk image. Just click on that, and that'll give you all you need to know about their great coffee. Let's see, any other news today? None that I could think of at the moment, just that if you want to bring me in as a speaker to your parish, please let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. I can either do a one-hour talk, I can do a one-day retreat, or I can do a multi-day, 2 or 3 day parish mission. So you let me know whatever works for you. I would love to come and visit you and visit your parishioners. Gary@followingthetruth.com, or go directly to followingthetruth.com, and you can find some samples of my talks there, as well as some endorsements and ways to get in touch with me. All right, sound good? Listen, let's pray, because we have a lot to cover today. We're going to really wrap up our discussion of the sacraments on the program today. I'm going to nail 2 of them down, because this Thursday we begin our total consecration focus, and that's going to take us through October. So, then we'll see where we go after that. But that's what we got planned for you today. But as we always do on the program, let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us another day to know you, to love you, to serve you. We're very grateful for the many blessings that you've given to us this day and every day. Father, help us to always know your will for our lives. Help us to have that desire to hear you and to follow your commands. Please help us to remain strong as we seek to share the good news, your good news, with those around us. We ask you to bless us, to bless our family members, to bless all of those with whom we come in contact. We especially ask you to help those who are sick tonight, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, addiction, any number of other conditions, financial difficulties. religious persecution, weather-related problems, whatever it may be, Father, we ask you to bless these people and help them to stay close to you, to feel your peace, and to be kept safe. And Father, I turn this program over to you right now, and I ask you to speak through me. Please use my voice and my words to proclaim your message and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We present to you now our own personal needs, our problems, those things that just distract us. And you know, Father, so many things do keep our focus off of you. We struggle with this, so we ask you to help us. Help us to keep focused on you and to not allow the problems of life to weigh us down. We ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now, Blessed Mother Mary, we turn to you. We're getting excited as we are about to begin our preparation for total consecration to Jesus through you, Blessed Mother. And we turn to you and ask you to pray for us, to pray for our needs, both material and spiritual, and to pray that we will be able to have the strength to walk this 33-day preparation period with you, and in the end, be able to grow closer to your Son, Jesus. And together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You are listening to The Gary Zimak Show, and you guessed it, I am Gary Zimak. If you are a first-time listener, welcome to the program. And I hope you'll be able to stick around with us. This program is now in its fifth year. Hard to believe that I started this so many years ago, but the Lord has blessed this show. He's blessed my work. And I plan to stick around for as long as I can. So you're not getting rid of me that easily. But seriously, I'm really glad that you're here. I thank you for your generosity, both with your prayers and your financial contributions, because you're the reason that I'm still able to do this show. So thank you very much for that. If you want to find out more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. You can, if you have any questions about anything that you read there or any of the work that I do, you can email me as well at gary@followingthetruth.com. This program airs every Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and it is also available on iTunes, on the Blog Talk Radio archives, and you can listen to it directly from my website, followingthetruth.com. So there are plenty of ways that you will be able to listen to the program if you want. When we go to do total consecration, you are going to be able to listen to the show at your leisure. So you don't have to be, you're not locked into any one time, which is a really good thing. That's why I like the way we do it. If you have questions along the way, though, just remember, gary@followingthetruth.com. One thing I should mention, we'll go over all this on Thursday, but in case you're a little unsure, we are going to run through the weekend. So we'll do a show on Saturday and Sunday as well. We'll do that at 2 p.m. Eastern. But again, you know, you can download these whenever you want. I'm going to urge you to stick with me. We'll do 30 minutes each night. I'm going to try to fit in the daily mass readings at the end if I can. I'm going to primarily concentrate on the material for total consecration. The material is not voluminous, so we're not going to be inundated with meditations and all kinds of material. It's going to be a relatively easy procedure to go through. But I really hope that you'll be able to stick with me, because if you go off on your own and use the book, which, you know, you can do, Here's the danger. The danger is you may, like me, tend to just fly through these meditations. I'm going to try to move you a little bit slowly so that you really appreciate what we're doing, because the purpose of this 33-day preparation period is to make sure that we're ready to commit to making our total consecration to Jesus through Mary. That's the purpose of it. So if you can stick with me, it's 30 minutes each night. That's all there is. If you can do that, I think you're going to get a lot more out of it. All right. That's just my two cents, but I really hope you'll be able to do that. All right. So let's get started. Let's look at these mass readings. Now, today is Monday of the 22nd week in ordinary time. The first reading is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, about those who have fallen asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest, who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, so too will God, through Jesus, bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Indeed, we tell you this on the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will surely not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with a word of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, will come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore console one another with these words. St. Paul is talking to the Thessalonians about the second coming of Christ. And yes, our bodies will rise one day, and our glorified bodies will be reunited with our souls, provided, you know, that we're still at the time of the second coming, when Jesus comes again. If we happen to be still on the earth, then our glorified bodies will just be taken either to heaven or hell, God forbid. But if we had already died prior to that, then what happens is our soul will be reunited with our glorified body, or with our earthly body, and to form a glorified body, so that at some point we're going to have these glorified bodies in heaven. The bottom line is that we are all promised eternal life. We want to be very careful that we end up in the right place. You know what I'm saying? We want to end up that we want to be careful that we end up in heaven. That's where we want to be. So we got to keep fighting. We've got to keep focused on the prize. The prize is heaven. It's the light at the end of the tunnel. It's the reason we're here. It's the reason we're doing total consecration. Because we want to get closer to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, so he can allow us to get to heaven. He can help us to get to heaven by giving us his grace. Because you and I, you know what we do, we mess up. We get lazy, we get complacent, and we get off on the wrong track. And that's the importance of remaining focused. So there is good news. And St. Paul is reminding the Thessalonians in this letter that you have hope, because some people had no hope after their death. St. Paul is saying, so that you may not grieve like the rest who have no hope. We want you to have hope that once you die, you will be able to live in heaven. And that is something we need to hang on to, because it's the truth. Psalm 96 is the responsorial psalm. The Lord comes to judge the earth. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all you lands. Tell his glory among the nations, among all peoples, his wondrous deeds. For great is the Lord, and highly to be praised. Awesome is he beyond all gods. For all the gods of this of the nation are things of naught, but the Lord made the heavens. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and what fills it resound. Let the plains be joyful and all that is in them. Then shall all the trees of the forest exult before the Lord, for he comes to rule the earth. He shall rule the world with justice, and all the peoples with his constancy. This is a reminder for you and I that the Lord is going to judge us. We are going to be all subjected to judgment. And that's not something that should upset you, but it's something that should motivate you. For when we get lazy, that's the time that we need that motivation, right? That's the time that we need the motivation to continue on the right track. And that's really important for us to remember. That's the time that we need to be on the right track and focus on one day being able to live forever in heaven. And we're going to be judged. So when you start to slack off a little bit and you feel like not moving forward or you don't feel like working that hard, just think about the fact that you will be judged one day, and that's going to motivate you a little bit, right? It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. We all need that kind of motivation. Let's look at the gospel, Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. Now, for the past several weeks, we've been reading from Matthew's gospel. Now we shift over to Luke's gospel, and here's what we read about. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and he was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found a passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Is this not the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself, and say, do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.' And he said, 'Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away." Now, are you surprised when you try to share the good news with people, especially your family members, your close friends, and you're not always met with open arms? Are you surprised? Well, you shouldn't be, because look at how Jesus was received. The problem, which we see here, is the fact that Jesus was thought of as the hometown boy, just regular old Jesus, nobody special. And what happened? As a result of the short-sightedness of the people in the synagogue, they didn't want to hear what he had to say. They were writing off anything important that he had to say. That's going to happen with us too, so please don't be surprised. This kind of thing happens. You're going to see this in your life. Don't let it get you discouraged. If it happened to Jesus, I guarantee that it's going to happen to you. Very, very important to remember. And when it does happen, don't panic, but just take comfort in the fact that Jesus was rejected too. The Lord wants us to share the good news. And that good news shouldn't stop being shared just when people begin to reject it. Don't let it get you down, okay? If you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's shift into the second part of the show and talk about the sacraments. Today we're going to just look at the sacraments of communion and service of the sacraments at the service of communion and mission. You might not have ever heard about that before, but let's take a look at what the Compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church has to say about these sacraments. Two sacraments, holy orders and matrimony, confer a special grace for a particular mission in the church, to serve and build up the people of God. These sacraments contribute in a special way to ecclesial communion and to the salvation of others. What are these sacraments? The sacrament number one of holy orders, which is the sacrament through which the mission entrusted by Christ to his apostles continues to be exercised in the church until the end of time. Now, the sacrament of holy orders essentially is the sacrament that is used to ordain deacons, priests, and bishops. What is the effect of the sacrament of... Well, first let's look at the degrees that make up the sacrament of holy orders. The sacrament of holy orders is composed of three degrees which are irreplaceable for the organic structure of the church: the episcopate, the presbyterate, and the diaconate. Boy, some fancy words there. Really what that is bishops, priests, and deacons. I'm not going to go any further than that because that's all you really need to know. What is the effect of ordination to the priesthood? That's a good one to look at. The anointing of the Spirit seals the priest with an indelible spiritual character that configures him to Christ the priest and enables him to act in the name of Christ the head. As a co-worker of the order of bishops, he is consecrated to preach the gospel, to celebrate divine worship, especially the Eucharist, from which his ministry draws its strength, and to be a shepherd of the faithful. Now, that's the priesthood. What is the effect of the ordination to the diaconate? The deacon, configured to Christ, the servant of all, is ordained for service to the church. He carries out this service under the authority of his proper bishop by the ministry of the word, of divine worship, of pastoral care, and of charity. Now, I want to point out, too, there are permanent deacons and there are transitional deacons. Every priest, prior to being ordained a priest, is ordained a deacon. He will be a transitional deacon, meaning that he will transition from the diaconate to the priesthood. On the other hand, permanent deacons remain as deacons. They are the deacons that are functioning at your parishes. Many of them are married. They are allowed to be married if they're married before they're ordained. And they are really ordained to assist the bishop. They really work directly for the bishop. Let's see. Is it necessary to be celibate to receive the sacrament of holy orders? It is always necessary to be celibate for the episcopacy, for the priesthood in the Latin rite. In the Latin church, men who are practicing Catholics and celibate are chosen, men who intend to continue to live a celibate life for the kingdom of heaven. In the Eastern churches, marriage is not permitted after one has been ordained. Married men can be ordained to the permanent diaconate. So we see in the Eastern Catholic Church there are married priests. We have some in the Latin Church as well, but they are the exception rather than the rule. What are the effects of the sacrament of holy orders? The sacrament yields a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which configures the recipient to Christ in his triple office as priest, prophet, and king, according to the respective degrees of the sacrament. Ordination confers an indelible spiritual character and therefore cannot be repeated or conferred for a limited time. Now, how about the sacrament of matrimony? What is the plan of God regarding man and woman? God, who is love and who created man and woman for love, has called them to love. By creating man and woman, he called them to an intimate communion of life and of love in marriage. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. God sent to them in blessing, be fruitful and multiply. And you know, this is something that's very much misunderstood in the world today. I want to look at this. This is question 338. For what ends has God instituted matrimony? The marital union of man and woman, which is founded and endowed with his own proper laws by the Creator, is by its very nature ordered to the communion and good of the couple and to the generation and education of children. According to the original divine plan, this conjugal union is indissoluble, as Jesus Christ affirmed, what therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That's Mark 10:9. So you have to have a man and a woman, despite what the craziness of the world will tell us. It's got to be a man and a woman. And one of the main purposes of marriage is procreation, as well as to the other purposes, to have the two spouses help one another to get to heaven. But in our world today, that is often forgotten about. Let's see. Are all obliged to get married? It is not an obligation for everyone, especially since God calls some men and women to follow the Lord Jesus in a life of virginity or celibacy for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, let's see. What are the effects of the sacrament of matrimony? The sacrament of matrimony establishes a perpetual and exclusive bond between the spouses. God himself seals the consent of the spouses. Therefore, a marriage which is ratified and consummated between baptized persons can never be dissolved. Furthermore, the sacrament bestows upon the spouses the grace necessary to attain holiness in their married life and to accept responsibility, to accept responsibly the gift of children and provide for their education. Why is the Christian family called a domestic church? The Christian family is called the domestic church because the family manifests and lives out the communal and familial nature of the church as the family of God. Each family member, in accord with their own role, exercises the baptismal priesthood and contributes toward making the family a community of grace and of prayer, a school of human and Christian virtue, and the place where the faith is first proclaimed to the children. So, Christian marriage is a really special thing, and it's something that we want to remember and we want to stand up for. In our world, marriage is under attack because the definition of marriage is trying to be changed. And as Catholic Christians, we need to make sure that people understand what marriage really is. That's our job. Our job is to evangelize. We're called to do that by our church. And one of the things that we are called to evangelize about is the fact that marriage is indissoluble, and it's between a man and a woman. And the purpose of marriage isn't gratification for both of the spouses. That's not the purpose of marriage. That's why we are in, that's why our world is so confused, because I think people have lost sight, many people have lost sight of the fact that that isn't the purpose of marriage. It's not just mutual pleasure. If the main purpose is forgotten, then it becomes a means to experience pleasure, and that's it. And therefore, what happens? Anything goes, and that's where we stand right now. So that's our little look at marriage and the Sacrament of Holy Orders today. We have gone through all the sacraments, not in any kind of great detail, but I hope that I've been able to give you some insight over the past few weeks. We're going to put this feature on hold, the one we've done every Monday, put it on hold for the duration of total consecration, and we'll see where we go after that. You can let me know what you think, and we'll decide where we go at that point. Sound good? Now, if you have any questions about anything that we discussed tonight, if you have any comments about any of the things that we were going to be discussing on the show when we go through total consecration, you just let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address, and I'd be happy to get back to you. I want to also let you know, put in my little pitch here, for the fact that I do depend on your donations to keep this program and my full-time ministry going. This is a big source of my income. So if you would like to see this show continue, if you'd like to help me out, and you could possibly donate to my work, I would very much appreciate it. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com. There's a donate tab there. Just click on that, and you'll be able to donate securely through PayPal. If you want to become a monthly sponsor, boy, that's really important and very much needed. And, you know, you could cancel that at any time, but it just gives me a way to gauge how much income I have coming in each month. And also, if you want to give a one-time contribution, that would be also very, very much appreciated. But, you know, I don't like talking about it, but it's the way, it's one of the ways that I manage to keep my work going. And I know that you would not want me to not mention it. You wouldn't want this show to go away and one day me to say, well, I just didn't want to ask. I'm going to be up front and say, I need the money to keep going. So if you want to help me out, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Again, thank you for tuning in. God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern. I hope you will as well. We'll look at the book, The Imitation of Christ, as we do each Tuesday. Have yourself a wonderful night. God bless you. And remember, total consecration is coming. Get ready.